I trust you can.
Yeah, all good, Don.
Good. All right, good morning. Thanks for that we just sang. That kind of fits into the topic this morning. We're going to be looking at how God has rule over all. He has sovereign rule over all happenings and things that are going on in the world today, and that's good to know. I want to think for a bit this morning on the book of Ezekiel. I may have spoken on this before, but I want to go in detail in one of the chapters. One of the key phrases in Ezekiel is the phrase, "Then they will know," or "you will know, that I am the Lord," with capital L-O-R-D. In other words, it's Jehovah God we're talking about here. That phrase is found over 70 times in the book of Ezekiel. Let's just look at some of those. For example, look at chapter 6 of Ezekiel and verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. This is in reference to when God is going to judge Israel for their sin and evil behavior. And chapter 7 says, "The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Again, in verse 14 of the same chapter, verse 14, "Then I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate, yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Dilla, in all the dwellings places, then they shall know that I am the Lord." Again in chapter 7 and verse 4, chapter 7, verse 4, "My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Again in verse 9. Same chapter, chapter 7, verse 9, "My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord who strikes." And then chapter 27, verse 27, sorry, verse 27 of chapter 7, "The king will mourn, and the prince will be clothed with desolation. The hands of the common people will tremble, and I will do to them according to their way, according to what they deserve. I will judge them, then you shall know that I am the Lord." All those ones are in reference to judgment against Israel for their terrible actions they had done. And the Lord was going to deal with them, and they would know that he was the Lord. Chapter 12 of Ezekiel and verse 16. Chapter 12 and verse 16. And verse 16 says, "But I will spare a few of them from the sword, from famine and from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles, wherever they go, then they shall know that I am the Lord." So you can just see how this phrase, "you shall know that I am the Lord," comes up time and time again in this book. And it is a phrase which is just a reminder to the people of the fact that God is the one in charge. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's in control of all things. And when you forget God or ignore God or try not to realize he's there, then there are consequences. As it says in the New Testament, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. And so it's important to see that God is dealing. This phrase is used 29 times in reference to the punishment against Jerusalem. It is used 24 times when it comes to punishment against Gentile nations for their evil behavior. And it's used 17 times or in reference to the restoration and the final blessings of the nation of Israel. So it comes up a lot. Now, this teaches Israel and all of the people that they will know by a clear demonstration that Jehovah is the true God. And they will also learn something of his character, his power, his majesty, his sovereignty, his swiftness, and his wisdom. His sovereignty rules over the nations and over history. Often been said, history is his story, not man's. It's his, God's story. He's the one controlling history. Now, the people in this book of Ezekiel, God is going to reveal he is the Lord through three revelations of his sovereign power. In the first 24 chapters, you have the punishment of Jerusalem and the captivity of the people in Jerusalem. And then secondly, the prophecies on the Gentile nations and how these were fulfilled. That's from chapter 25 up to 32. And then thirdly, the preservation and the ultimate restoration of the covenant people, partly at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and their return, but the completion will be fully completed in the millennium. That's from chapters 33 to 48. Now, another theme in this book is the glory of the Lord. That's part of his character. And in this book, Ezekiel has three visions. The first one is in chapter 1. We're going to look at that in detail shortly. And then secondly, we can see how the glory of Jehovah or glory of the Lord leaves the temple and eventually leaves the city. And then thirdly, it returns during the millennium. Now, let's look at chapter 10. And verse 18 of Ezekiel, chapter 10 and verse 18, we'll see how the glory of the Lord left the temple because of the evil things going on there. We're going to come into that later, but I just wanted to point out these three points. We're going to look at the glory of the Lord in the, how he's the sovereign Lord of the universe, but then we're going to see how this glory departs from Jerusalem, or from the temple rather. In verse 18 of chapter 10, it says, "And the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim." And then in chapter 11 and verse 23, glory of the Lord actually leaves the city itself. Chapter 10, verse 33, "Then the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of God of Israel was high above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city." Now this glory, this is that sometimes called Shekinah glory that was in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and later in the temple. And because of the terrible things going on, the idolatry and the immorality and the abominations going on in the temple itself, the glory of the Lord left the temple and eventually left the city. But one day, it's going to come back. And in chapter 43 of Ezekiel, just turn there quickly. Chapter 43, we have it coming back. Chapter 43 and verse 1. Where it reads, "Afterward he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east, and behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel came from way off in the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate, which faces toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. You have the glory of the Lord in chapter 1. We're going to look at this vision just shortly, where we see a tremendous demonstration of God's glory and power and majesty and might and so on. Then you have that glory departing from the temple, eventually from the city because of all the evil things happening. But then that glory is going to come back one day during the millennium and once again dwell in the city and right in the temple itself. Now, this glory in chapter 1, and Dave, you can put up that chart now if you can. There is a chart we're going to look at here. This is the, as Bill McDonald calls it, the throne car of Ezekiel chapter 1. And you see there you have these wheels, and beside each wheel are these creatures, sometimes called cherubim. Now in description, we're going to read about this shortly, but notice there it has a head on each one. In fact, there are four heads, but in the diagram, only one head. The wheels are double wheels, just like a gyroscope. And above the wheels, you have sort of a layer with a throne, and above the throne, a rainbow. And all these are very significant. Now, I'm going to read for you chapter 1. It's a bit detailed, but as I read it, I want you to think of four words, four ideas, and that is majesty, power, sovereignty, wisdom, and perhaps one more, swiftness, because we're going to see that this diagram, which demonstrates this vision that Ezekiel had in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, is really talking about all those things, and we're going to see that. By the way, there's a very good book that I got a lot of this from. It's by Sidwell Baxter, a book called Through the Book. Very good book, and I would highly recommend it. I've used it many times. So let me just read for you chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel. And as I say, just listen as you listen. We're going to start in verse 4. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing them for itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiated out of its midst like a color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within came a likeness of four living creatures, and there was the appearance that they had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces. Each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze, and the hands of a man were under the wings on their four sides. And each of the four had faces and wings. The wings touched one another, and the creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each one had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion, on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each had the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward, two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward, and they went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like the flash of lightning. Now, as I looked, the living creatures a wheel was on the earth beside each of the creatures with its four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl. And all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their working was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they moved, they went forward, went toward any of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high that they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, because because there the spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them, where the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two, which covered one side, and each one had two, which covered the other side of the body. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. And a voice came from the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament, over their heads, there was a likeness of a throne in appearance, like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness, the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with his appearance of fire all around. Within and from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of the rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. And so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. And this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Now, I didn't read verse number one. I should read that, because one point that I want to make is in verse one. Now, it came to pass in the 13th year, in the not fourth month of the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. So what Ezekiel is seeing here is actually a vision of God, in particular, his glory. It's very interesting, because this was something really amazing, something that was so amazing that I think Ezekiel would have a hard time explaining it. There was some kind of a brilliant center glow of this cloud that came, first of all, that was mentioned, verse 4, about a cloud coming, a cloud of raging wind and fire and brightness, and shining out in the midst like amber. And this cloud coming, this raging fire coming, that really is a symbol of judgment coming against Israel because of their sin, and coming against the Gentile nations. The fact that it was coming from the north would refer to perhaps Babylon, that God would use this country for punishment against Israel. You get the same thing in Habakkuk. You remember in Habakkuk, perhaps, that Habakkuk was complaining that God wasn't dealing with all the evil in Israel. And God said, I'm going to do something which you won't believe. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, from the east and the north, and they're going to come and punish Israel. And Habakkuk said, how can someone who is more evil punish someone who is less evil? That was a problem for him, but that was God's dealings. And this just shows us that this judgment that was coming was controlled under the direction of the Lord himself. God's in control. His sovereignty rules over all. His sovereignty rules over all. Now, the word likeness appears many times, about 15 times in this description of this throne car. And it just shows us that these four living beings, these sometimes called cherubim, it shows you something of the likeness of their nature. They were spiritual beings. And this picture we see here is a symbol of their what they have and what they do and so on. Now it says they had four faces: a human face, a lion, a face of a lion, a face of an ox, and a face of an eagle. And as Baxter points out, human, that's intelligence. The lion, that's strength. The ox, that's service. And the eagle, that's heavenness, that is from heaven. And not only that, but each of them, each of these creatures had four wings and four hands. It's a wing and a hand on each of their four sides. You might wonder why they have to have wings all around. But remember that several times it's mentioned in this passage that when they went somewhere, they went straight forward, not turning to the left or to the right. They just went straight forward. These creatures, because they had wings on every side, they didn't have to turn to go somewhere. They could just go left or right or backwards or forwards, whatever they wanted. They didn't have to turn. Not only that, but they were joined up with these wheels. And these wheels, they were sort of like gyroscopes. And these wheels could go any direction without turning. North, south, east, or west, they didn't have to turn. Now, that just shows you how they had a fullness of capacity for service. They could serve the Lord. And when they served the Lord, they didn't go any direction. They just went straight forward. Reminds me of the New Testament when it talks about how that a soldier has to keep his mind on the battle and not be taken up with civilian affairs, not to be sidetracked. And these creatures, these cherubim, when they moved according to the direction of God, the sovereign of the universe, they went straight forward, left or right or whatever direction, without turning. It was something which was amazing. Now, also, these wheels, they appeared like sort of, or these creatures rather, they appeared like burning coals, very bright with lightning coming out. So there was a brilliance with these creatures, with lightning coming out from them. This is not some simple creature. It's something which was amazing. And that would speak to us of the holiness and the swiftness of action, the holiness of God and the swiftness of action for God. When God would direct them, they would go straight ahead, whatever direction God told them to go. They didn't have to. Now, I mentioned already that the wheels were like gyroscopes, these double wheels. And so with the creatures, the cherubim having wings and hands on each side, these wheels, which can go any direction, so the wheels and the creatures would move together. And it says that the spirit of these creatures was in the wheels. So they moved together. If the creatures went up, the wheels went up. If they went backwards, the wheels went back. Whatever direction that the spirits went, the wheels went. They were together. And the wheels also had eyes. They were full of eyes. Here they are. These creatures and these wheels move together. Whenever they move, they don't have to change directions. They go straight ahead. And the wheels are full of eyes, speaking of God's omniscience. He sees everything. And these wheels not only touch the earth, but they reach right up to heaven. And that shows us that behind the events on earth are the operations and the powers of heaven. They move with power from heaven. They were wheels of divine government, divine providence, something which God controls. Once again, it shows us that God's in control. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe. And it talks about them running with lightning, like lightning with swiftness, not turning left or right. And they could go any direction simultaneously. They could see everything. They could go everywhere, every minute. So there was omniscience, there was swiftness to do God's will, and they were holy. So with these 16 faces and 16 wings, remember each of the four creatures had four wings and four faces, and the wheels which could go every direction, it shows us omniscience, omnipotence, that God has all power, and God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence of God. And that, we see too, there is a connection between this picture, this diagram, or this vision that Ezekiel had, how that these creatures are near to God's throne and they express his life. So too, the Lord Jesus took human form. And he took on the characteristics of these four creatures. We see that in the four Gospels. Because Matthew presents Christ as the lion, the king. And Mark presents Christ as the servant, that's the ox. And Luke presents Christ as the perfect man. And we have a picture of the man in the diagram, in the vision. And then John presents the one from heaven, the heavenly one, the divine one, that's the eagle. With the lion face, the ox face, face of a man, and the face of the eagle, you have the king, the servant, the man Jesus Christ, and the one who is the heavenly one. Well, then above these creatures, there's sort of a sky or a firmament of some kind, a cloud, and on that there is a throne. And from verse 22, 27, it describes this throne. Above the creatures was the surface. It had a very interesting color. And on this surface, it was a throne which appeared like a sapphire stone, brilliant stone, glorious. Once again, this is representing the glory of God. And on the throne, the likeness of a man from the waist up, the color of amber with fire within, from the waist down like a burning flame shining brightly. And above the throne, what was there? There was something that looked like a rainbow. Now this picture that Ezekiel sees, he recognizes this as the appearance, the likeness of the glory of God. And what does he do? He falls down on the ground on his face. He realizes that this was a picture of the glory of God. This radiance, this sapphire stone, the throne that is, the fire, even the wheels with all the eyes and the creatures with amber and lightning coming out from them. Remember when God came down on Mount Sinai, there was an earthquake and there was fire. All part of God's glory, the demonstration of his glory. And Ezekiel can do nothing else but fall on his face to the ground. Now, let's think about the purpose of this vision. Now, as for the creatures and the wheels, we learn that behind the events on earth are the working and the operations of heaven. That is, God is in charge. God is in charge. Everything that happens on the earth and all the going in and going out on the earth is all under the control of God. Nothing happens without his permission. He is in control. That's good to know, because sometimes we wonder, we look around our world today and we see all the chaos and all the confusion and all the problems and the killings and the riots and everything else. We wonder, what is happening? Where is God? But remember, God is still in control. And then the throne and the one who sat on the throne. So from that, we learn that both behind the events on the earth, above all, it's the supernatural powers in heaven. It's his sovereign throne. It's the will and the purpose of the infinite Jehovah himself. He's the one in control. It's the infinite God of heaven, Jehovah himself. He's the one who's on that throne. He's the one who rules. That Psalm 103 says, his sovereignty rules over all. Good to remember that. And then the rainbow, a symbol of God's covenant and faithfulness. He always keeps his word. What he says will happen. What he has declared will happen. And we're going to see that in relation to his judgment against the nations. Nations like Tyre, which he said would be the city of Tyre, which would be scraped down to the bare rock and left for the spread of fishing nets. And that's exactly what happened. So God made a prediction, a prophecy about what was going to happen, and history proves that's exactly what happened. So God, whatever God says, happens. He is a covenant-keeping God. He is faithful. We can trust him. And then, too, it's a reminder that after the dark judgment will come a shining light. The psalmist says, in your wrath, have mercy, for there will be love and mercy. Even the great holiness and supreme glory of God is overshadowed with grace. You know, as you try to imagine this vision that Ezekiel had, you think, how can we even survive this? We couldn't get near to it. It is so powerful. It is so magnificent. It is so frightening. It's so full of awe. It's awful in that sense. The fire and the brightness and the glory and so on. And these creatures that can move any direction. We wonder, what chance is this? What chance is there for man? But you know, overriding all of this is God's grace as well. It's overshadowed with his grace. His covenant is there. He will keep his word. Well, as the scriptures say, weeping may come at night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, when we see all this chaos and conflict, we need to remember that God is working out his purposes in his way, in his time. And he's the covenant-keeping God, and he's faithful. And when we become anxious about all the troubles around us, we need to get our eyes on that throne. We get our eyes up through the mist to that rainbow. And say, yes, God's still in control. His covenant is still there. He will keep his word. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord Jesus, remember in John 16, said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's still ruling. He's overcome the world. A brighter day is coming. For the threefold purpose of this vision in chapter 1, the storm cloud and the fire, that's the judgment coming. Secondly, the four creatures and the wheels behind all the events on earth is the overriding working of God in heaven, the working of heaven and all through all the events and things happening on earth. And thirdly, the throne and the rainbow, supreme over all is God himself. His sovereignty rules over all, but in wrath he remembers mercy. In the end, we will see the triumph of his grace and righteousness. Now, at this point, I just asked Dave to play one chorus by Guy Penrod called Then Came the Morning, reminding us of the victory we have in Christ. Then came the morning. If you do that, Dave, thanks. And then we'll pray after the song.
They all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seen. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man, but deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow,
morning had come. And as we've been seeing, we know that despite what we see today with COVID-19 and all the chaos around us and in this world, all the fighting and evil and all the things happening, churches going the wrong way, wrong teaching, evil rapidly increasing. And sometimes you get just kind of down, but let's remember that there's a new day coming. Morning will come. When the Lord Jesus died, some had lost hope. As the two said on the way to Emmaus, we thought he would be the one to save Israel. But they didn't know who they were talking to. One day we shall know that he is the Lord. The Israelites knew it in a wrong way. They knew it because he had to punish them. Then they knew who they were dealing with. But we know the Lord, and we are going to one day be with him. There's a new day coming. The morning will come, and our sorrow will be turned into joy. Let's just pray and thank God for his goodness to us. And before we do that, just a comment. If you're on this, listen to this program today, and you don't know this God, this Lord Jesus, one day you will know him, but you will know him in the wrong way. You will know him as the nations who had rejected him and went under his punishment. But if you know him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and with true repentance, then it'll be a different story. You will know him as your Savior and friend and Redeemer. And that's far better than as a judge against you because of your sin. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for this book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel had a vision of your glory, showing your power, your strength, your majesty, your holiness, and your wisdom. We see how the creatures and the wheels would move at your bidding without going left or right, because with you there's no shadow of turning. But your will is done on earth just as you want it. We don't always understand why things happen, why someone dies, why someone gets sick, why someone does something which we don't understand, when all the evil in the world. And yet you are in the sovereign one. You are the sovereign one of the universe. You are the one in control. And we thank you that we can trust you and we don't have to become anxious, but we can take all our anxieties and bring them to you with thanksgiving. And your peace, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We pray that this might be true for each one here today listening, and ask your blessing now in Christ's name. Amen.